Welcome everyone to a new episode of CineNation's Bad Movie Book Club. I'm Thomas Horton.
And I'm Anna Catley.
And I'm Hunter Barcroft.
And yeah, that's us. We're the Bad Movie Book Club, and we are here tonight to talk to you all about a little film called Anaconda.
Mm-hmm. My Anaconda don't want none.
You stole my line.
It's a tweet to start, that I found, but it'll come up later.
We'll start starting every episode off with a song.
My Anaconda don't. Oh, man. For real, though, like, when I did search for the tweets for this, 90% of the tweets that I found were Nicki Minaj-related Anaconda tweets. There were a lot of really graphic pictures. It was jarring, to say the least.
It'd be weird that it would be about a current song and not about a 1997 badly received horror film.
Badly received? What are you talking about? It built Ice Cube's career. I'm just kidding.
38% on Rotten Tomatoes says otherwise.
It did. You know what? It did help Owen Wilson. A lot of people were like, yeah, I don't know who that blonde guy is, but I want more of him in my movies.
Unlike the line from the film, this film was supposed to be a big break. It turned out to be a big disaster, which is turned out to be basically an analogy of J-Lo's career.
Yeah, but she's got the new show coming out with Ray Liotta.
Shades of Blue on NBC.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so to start us off, I want to talk about the crew of this film because it's a very interesting collection of filmmakers behind this movie. Luis Llosa was the director, who is primarily a producer, but he's done Anaconda, I think, is the only thing I recognize.
Dude, no, directed. You've never seen Tom Berenger and Sniper? Are you kidding me?
No, I've never seen Tom Berenger and Sniper.
It's actually not the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's like, you know what you're getting, but yeah.
Okay, so, okay. But what I do want to talk about is this screenwriting team, because on this film, you have Jim Cash and Jack Epps Jr., who are responsible for a little film called Top Gun.
Whoa.
Yeah. Also, Legal Eagles with Robert Redford, which is a good film. I enjoy that movie. Turner and Hooch with an actor we know as Tom Hanks.
T. Hanks.
And also the Flintstones in Vivo Rock Vegas, the famous sequel to the extremely successful Flintstones live-action films. I also have to add a little side note here that Jack Epps Jr. is a professor at University of Southern California. So
you can get him
hopefully he won't be listening to this.
If you're out there, send us a review.
If you're listening,
tell us how mean we were. I would love
you. All right, his latest film, Anaconda's The Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Have you seen it?
Definitely.
It's pretty amazing.
I've not seen it. I've heard great things. It has the exact same star rating it has the exact same Metascore on IMDb. So
really,
maybe,
my dad,
you know.
My dad bought the DVD for us when we went on a hunting trip.
Bought it?
Yeah, well, he bought it. We have it. It's somewhere in a box in my house.
It's definitely worth owning.
You know what, though? Like, the Anacondas look better in Anaconda, the first one, than they do in Blood Orchid. In Blood Orchid, it's just kind of gross. Like, spoiler alert for all you people who actually were going to watch it. They walk up on, like, a snake orgy in the woods while looking for some like orchids, and it like all hell breaks loose because they have to get through this like pit of snakes, which are all anacondas like writhing on top of each other to get to these flowers that are like gonna cure cancer. It's pretty amazing stuff, guys.
What?
You should give it a watch. If you watched Anaconda, the first one, you might as well just watch the second one too.
That sounds like a marriage between Anaconda and Adaptation.
It is, except it's very
Did Charlie
much
Kaufman
so.
Yeah. Write it?
Anaconda is the Blood Orchid, written by Charlie Kaufman.
I would watch that movie.
I would
so
watch
much.
It. I'm down.
So speaking of spoilers, I want to dive right into the sequences of the film because the movie opens by spoiling the climax.
Mm-hmm. Also by killing off a legend, an American legend.
Which pissed me off so much. It's like, I don't know, what's... You know, it's like opening... All right, let's talk about something right now. Let's talk about... It's like opening The Revenant with a little quote that says, by the way, human bodies are capable of being mauled by a bear and then buried and then crawling across the, you know, snow for miles and still surviving. Like, you tell us right off the bat what's going to happen at the end of this movie, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
There's a lot of ridiculous things in this movie, Thomas.
I'm referring, of course, to the note. They just want to explain, in case anybody gets to the end of the film, when the anaconda eats John Voight and then spits him back up so that he can then eat Jennifer Lopez. They don't want the science people out there to be like, I don't know if an anaconda would really do that. So they go ahead and tell you right at the beginning that, yes, it is scientifically accurate, so that you know what you're getting into.
I still enjoyed it. Spoiler alert for how I feel about this movie. I still love that shot of, like, his body. Like, when he winks at her and he's like, oh, his eye. Like, I still loved it. It's so gruesome and perfect, and it's everything I ever wanted my John Voight character to be.
So. Let's launch into it. Mm. We open with Danny Trejo in the unnamed role of Poacher. And
very young Danny Trejo. We were talking about this earlier. Oh, yeah.
Oiled up Danny Trejo.
Oiled
very up. Alarming.
Slippery.
Not
Danny.
As enjoyable as oiled up Sam Elliott.
If only That's they had true. Both been on the boat, Poacher 1 and Poacher 2.
Yeah, Sam Elliott could have really decently played the John Voight character, I think.
But he would have had a terrible, like, deep South American accent.
And worse than John Boyd, that's hard to believe.
Well, I was reading they had Jean Reno originally in the role, which I think would have worked super well, actually. Like, Jean Reno is, like, incredibly decent. I love him.
Oh my
but, like,
God.
It'd be weird to see him, like, in that role, because I'm just so used to seeing him as, like, a French cop, but, like,
he'd been perfect, still. Though.
He would have been really good.
What could have been? So, thanks, John Boyd.
Danny Trejo.
And Gillian Anderson almost for J-Lo's role.
What?
Can you imagine a movie with Gillian Anderson and Jean Reno?
No, but I want to.
I know.
I also heard at one point during the shooting of the film, they thought about firing Eric Stoltz and reshooting it with Michael J. Fox.
that's a good
slap
one.
Slap in the face. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That's
yeah.
a joke. That one's not true. Don't go tell someone that.
Oh, I believe that.
I wonder if he's still bitter about that. I really do. Like, I would be, dude. I would be
gigantic
so
gigantic film franchise he missed out on.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm missing some reference here. What happened? Did Eric Stoltz, was he in Back to the Future?
Yes. They shot Sorry. Almost the entire film with Eric Stoltz
no,
and then decided
I
it wasn't working and reshot the whole thing with Michael J.
Did
Fox.
Not know that.
There's a great story about Bob Z calling in everyone on the cast and crew and just being like, hey, guys, thanks for all your hard work the last couple weeks. It's been a hell of a ride. So I want y'all to know we're going to reshoot everything, and we're firing Eric Stoltz, and we're going to reshoot everything with Michael J. Fox. So it's basically like he thought everyone was going to be, like, mutinized and, like, just, like, not want to do it anymore and everyone bail. But everyone was like, yeah, you're right. Let's do it. And everyone was for it. It was pretty crazy. Yeah, I feel bad for Eric Stoltz,
really
but,
bad.
You know, he got to be an anaconda, so...
And not even in Anaconda that much.
No, but he did save he saved everyone's ass later in the story.
Oh, man. I called that so hard. I was like, he's going to come up at the very last second and save J-Law. J-Lo.
J-Law.
Not J-Law. J-Lo. Oh, no. The reign of J-Lo is over. I was like, he's definitely going to save her from John Voight trying to kill her. And that's what happened.
I don't know. I kept hoping that, like, the sorting hat would fall into J-Lo's hands and then she would pull out the sword of Godric Gryffindor and then cut the snake's head off. Like, I really wanted that to be the end, but I was so wrong. So
yeah,
so wrong.
For sure.
So in the film, after Danny Trejo's eaten, we get introduced to the cast. Like we've been talking about, we've got J-Lo as a documentary producer from the streets of LA.
Of course.
She's Jenny from the Block. We've got her best friend and cinematographer, Ice Cube.
So he's very believable. He brings a lot of nuance to that role.
who introduces himself by quoting one of his own rap songs.
And then listening to his own rap music right afterwards.
He's like, today is a good day, and everybody's like, oh, it's Ice Cube, he's an actor now.
Dude, I missed all of that. I literally missed all of that.
And then he sits back and like smokes this like blunt and then listens to NWA while sitting on the boat while we meet the other characters.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
It's fantastic.
You. Did that happen?
Eric it's Stoltz is her Jacques Cousteau ex-boyfriend or current boyfriend or something like that.
He was believable.
Owen Wilson is the sound guy.
A great sound guy.
There's the girl who's the production manager.
I'm not really sure what her name is. Is that sound guy's girlfriend?
Yeah, sound guy's girlfriend. Jonathan Hyde is the British documentary host. And yeah, that's about it. So they head on a boat and they're going searching for a secret indigenous people that Eric Stoltz knows how to find.
But what a time they have finding those people. Oh, I hope it was worth it, Eric Stoltz. You know, at the end, it kind of makes it seem like he's like, you know what? It was worth it. And I'm like, was it? All these people died so you could find these people.
Well, they did have like a moment where like they knew John Voight was right. Like he had led them the right direction. So without John Voight, they never would have found the people.
It's true,
right?
But he also, you know, tried to use them as bait. So, I don't know. Fucking
well, crazy. Yeah. You know, you cut your losses.
$1 million. Don't get my snake. $1 million. It's not good to me, Dad. Like, I'm just like, who are you, dude?
God, it was
yeah,
so bad.
Then they pick up John Voight.
He doesn't seem as crazy at the beginning. I mean, like, him and
there's
the,
that
Mateo
scene, there's
seems
a scene,
a little shady.
What? There's that scene after they pick him up where it's like they're going through a thunderstorm and everyone's just staring at each other. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of shots of people's faces.
There was like way too much intimate eye contact between Mateo and John Voight without ever them ever really explaining their relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
Like they were always staring at each other and like having these like weirdly sensual moments, and I was like, are you guys like trying to freak or fight or what? Like, what's going on here?
A little bit of both, Anna.
A little bit of both, maybe. I mean, he does have an entire notebook full of hand-drawn photos of men wrestling snakes. So
I think Mateo's in one of those photos, isn't he?
Is he?
I think Mateo's in one of the
pictures.
I don't know. Like, my understanding was that Mateo was involved with Danny Trejo. Like, they were like a team or whatever.
Yeah,
and then
all three of them were buddies.
So, is Danny Trejo the third person in that picture? Because there's a picture of John Voight, two other men holding an anaconda. That he finds on the boat when they find John Voight's boat from earlier, and he like takes them over there to it. He finds this photo up on the wall and then pulls it down. And he looks at it, and it's a photo of John Voight, Mateo, and one other person, which could have totally been Danny Trejo, and it would have made a lot more sense.
Probably
but,
was.
Yeah, that's. I always thought they were kind of knew what was actually going on, but Mateo, he seemed more shady, like way more shady to me than John Voight did. I don't know why.
Because he was doing the smoldering thing, and like. Don Voight was doing the whole like charming thing.
True,
like
but also
slimy,
like, really creepy guy thing. Just hitting on all the girls.
Yeah, that nasty ass like mullet was so great.
Baby bird.
Just the terrible John Voight's accent in this movie sounds like John Voight watched a lot of The Princess Bride before he did the movie, and he was just trying to do Mandy Patinkin's bad Spanish accent from Princess Bride for the whole thing.
What if Mandy Patinkin had played John Voight's character in this movie?
Oh, no. That's actually really... I was actually trying to figure out, like, what it sounded like most to me, his accent, because it did sound, like, distinctly like one performance, and I think it might have been Mandy Patinkin that I was thinking of. But the closest I came up with was Anthony Hopkins in Mask of Zorro.
Oh.
Which was pretty similar. And then, like, for a second, I was thinking, like, Charlton Heston Vargas and, like, Touch of Evil, but then I realized that he was just... being casually racist and didn't have the voice. He just had like shoe polish on his face.
But the thing with comparing it to Anthony Hopkins or Mandy Patinkin is aren't both of those accents supposed to be from Spain and John Voight supposed to be from like Nicaragua or something?
Paraguay,
yeah, there we
Paraguay.
Go.
Man, find me a good voice coach that does a great how do you say it? Paraguayan accent? Like, how do you say it? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That seems like it'd be hard to nail anyway, so maybe we're giving him a lot of flack, but maybe he's pretty close. I don't know. I never met anyone from Paraguay.
I have to say, while they're on this trip on the boat, there's some really sexy scenes in this movie. It's just like very sensual, but I think the Firefly scene between Eric Stoltz and Jennifer Lopez might be one of the most sensual scenes ever caught on film.
It's pretty good.
I have it written here.
Oh,
Eric Stoltz says they use their night flashes to announce that they're ready to mate. And J-Lo says, who flashes, males or females? And Eric Stoltz says, both. The females with short, dainty, feminine flashes, and the males with long, drawn-out, manly flashes. And J-Lo says, I like that. No pickup lines, no misunderstandings, just instinct and nature. And then Eric Stoltz goes, I've missed you. And then it's on.
It's on until he swallows that wasp in his tube. And then it's not on anymore.
Everybody's just like, oh yeah, this wasp got into his like air tube. No, that's not cool.
John Voight put it there.
I know, but everybody kind of acts like, oh yeah, that happens.
If he got stung though by this like wasp, how is cutting his throat getting rid of like wasp venom, or like what happened there? Did his throat just close up and they had to like up. Okay.
His throat was closing up from the venom, so yeah, so John Voight gives him a pin tracheotomy.
Yeah, some like real backwoods Nicaraguan tricks there, Paraguayan tricks. I don't know.
He's a priest, but he knows how to do a proper tracheotomy, so, you know.
Yeah, he's like, how does it feel to be a failed priest? He's like, I didn't fail. You think I failed? I didn't fail. I'm just like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, I do have to write down, at one point, John Voight also strangles a panther, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. So funny.
Also, looks like he's definitely going to shoot Owen Wilson and Owen Wilson's girlfriend. They're running through the jungle.
Snuck off.
Yeah, but there's no gap in between their bodies. They're taking up the entire pathway. He shoots in the middle of them and kills the pig. I was like, no. One of them had to die. Like, no.
Also, there's one. So people start fighting on the boat, and a part when Ice Cube is going to fight John Voight, and John Voight says, you and whose army? And Ice Cube's answer is, yo mamas.
Yo mamas.
Similarly, when he, like, kills the snake with the axe and then just says, bitch. And the snake slides down into the water.
That was one of
I actually laughed out loud. I actually really liked that moment. Bitch. It was a good moment.
There's some really great lines. Also, when the British documentary host hits John Voight with a golf ball, and or with the golf club, mm-hmm. and says, asshole in one.
That guy had a couple moments where it was like, okay, you're not that bad. You're not terrible. But then that would happen.
Who sits around a writer's room and it's just like, you know what he could say? Asshole in one. And then there were three people writing this script, and they all three went, yeah, you know what? That sounds great. I'd love that.
You know what's something I noticed about that guy in particular? I don't know how you guys watched the movie, but I watched mine on Crackle because it was free on Crackle, the app. Mm-hmm. So I was watching on Crackle, and they put ads in between in certain spots. And every time you'd come back from one of the ads, it would be a shot of him hitting a golf ball either into the river or into the net. It's like every time I'd just be like, and I'd be like, okay, we're back. It always
started
like that.
That's their go-to transition shot to show time go by, is that he's just golfing. And he's such, I don't know, like, I understand the, you know, diva actor stereotype, but he's supposed to be, they kind of show him as the foremost documentarian, but then he's such a diva about being in the wilderness and like not having the luxuries of home, and it just really makes you question like what kind of documentaries this guy's been in before and why he signed on to this indigenous tribe documentary.
That's real life though, Thomas. That's real life.
Think like Jack Hanna's like traveling around the wilderness going like, where's my golf clubs? And my driving range and my whiskey.
I don't know. I've never met Jack Hanna.
Who's
Jack Hanna? Oh, I forget. You Canadian.
He's the American Steve Irwin.
Yeah, he's pretty close. He's like such
what, does
a
he wrestle Crocs in Florida or something?
No, he knows better.
He doesn't really wrestle them, but he's like the children's nature documentarian guy. He hosts all the children's animal shows.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha, I actually went. Gotcha. There's a guy, Jim something, back in the day. He did all the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Okay, so I met him in Birmingham.
What was his name?
He signed an Animal Planet hat for me when I was a kid, but I was at this thing for him. This is just a weird side story. And at this thing, they're bringing out little animals for everyone to see. He was going to parade them out and like talk about them while they're sitting there in this little thing. So he brings out this like half-size black bear at one point. He's going to like talk about this Asiatic black bear. And on its way out, it freaks out, dude. And it grabs onto the little, like, you know, the red ropes that they put at movie theaters to like keep people mm-hmm. corralled in the area. It grabs that thing and starts ripping the whole line of these things down and just like pulling it and just freaking out. And so, dude, they start freaking out and they tranquilize it in front of everyone. Everyone was screaming and like running. It was great.
Speaking of tranquilizers.
Oh, it's a good transition.
There's this part in the movie where he shoots the snake with a trank dart and it gets knocked out. And then the trank dart just kind of like comes out of the snake and it's immediately awake again.
Well, everyone knows that's how tranquilizers work.
Trank darts only work if they're like in you. That's how.
Didn't that happen with John Voight too? Like they shot him with a trank in the back, and then someone says, "Oh, John Voight says it was a tranquilizer." Like he actually audibly says, "Like it's a tranquilizer." Like he acknowledges it's in his back, and then he falls in the water and it falls out of him. Didn't that happen?
Yeah,
definitely happened.
That's how he survived.
Yeah, and that's how he comes back. And then Ice Cube like stares at the water and says, "The tranquilizer came out," and then he just walks away.
The tranquilizer came out.
Yeah, and then he just didn't even do anything about it. Like he didn't even check to see if John, like nobody checks to see if things are dead in this movie. It's like a problem.
Yeah,
they just kind of like let it sit, and then it comes back later and tries to kill you again, and then they don't learn again.
Mm-hmm. J-Lo had 2-3 opportunities to kill John Voight. She never did.
I'm pretty sure whichever one it was who got swallowed and then you saw his face through the anaconda skin, I'm pretty
Wilson.
Sure he was dead. Owen Wilson was that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was Owen Wilson.
He got wrapped up and then swallowed and then his face pressed through the anaconda skin.
I loved that shot, the underwater shot. I loved it. It was one of my guilty pleasure moments. So I was like...
Also, like, when the snake climbs up the waterfall and then hangs down and catches the documentarian... He hangs from a tree.
I loved how it snatched him by the face as he was rolling.
I like its method of attack, like, in general. Like, it goes to the face first, then wraps itself. I actually thought that was, like, it always looked pretty cool, actually. Like, I know, like, it gets a lot of flack for its CGI, but that's, like, mostly, I think, when it's just, like, slithering around underwater. But, like, when it's attacking, I think it actually looks okay. Like,
yes.
Sound design is weird, though. I don't know what an anaconda is supposed to sound like. But well, I highly doubt that.
Did you see that there was a guy credited with the voice of the anaconda?
No.
Yeah, because there's IMDb? All kinds of stuff going on in
like,
that thing.
I was like actually concerned going into this film that the anaconda would at some point start speaking and be like enchanted by like the natives that they were chasing or something. Like it would just be this whole fantastical thing.
Yeah.
Because there was the voice of the anaconda in IMDb. I'm so thankful. It's just like hisses.
It could have been like a really great play on The Jungle Book. Would have been amazing.
ScarJo is in charge of that voice now.
Are you excited about that, Anna? Because I am.
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm like, okay, well, like, I saw the trailer and I got, like, decently hyped up. I was like, all right, like, it looks pretty. But Jungle Book is my favorite all-time Disney movie. Like, all-time, hands down. Like, favorite Disney movie. So I'm, like, harboring a little bit of resentment that they're making it, like, super over-the-top fantastical when it's just perfect the way it is. But, like, I understand that that's not logical because you can't hold on to these things. So
I feel like
I'll watch
it. All I had to hear was Bill Murray as Baloo, and I was just in.
Some pretty solid casting, I gotta say.
Yeah, Idris Elba, Shere Khan. I was like, after Beast of No Nation, I'm down. You can take this in the most dark direction possible, and I'm loving it. Like, please, give me more.
That's, like, problematic, though, when they put, like, really awesome people as, like, the voice of the evil big cats. I don't know. Like, Jeremy Irons as Scar. It's, problematic because, like, I love Jeremy Irons. And I love Scar, so. Anyway, continue. Sorry, you have things to say, Thomas.
Let's wrap up this the plot with the just stellar ending. Everyone's dead. Ice Cube, J-Lo, Eric Stoltz, and John Voight and the snake.
So you want me to give you a breakdown of the scene?
Do it. Take it.
So basically, John Voight is hiding out. We don't know he's hiding out, but he's... The last time we saw him, tranquilizer comes out of his neck, I guess, and he's floating down the river. We think he's drowned, probably. So Ice Cube, Eric Stoltz, who is now alive and awake, but like still not all that great, and Jennifer Lopez. They bring the boat down by this old... Was it like an old warehouse or like an oil rig or something like that in the jungle?
Yeah,
it's
an army place building. And so they're like, oh, I bet there's oil in here. Let's go in here and get some oil. So they go inside. They leave Eric Stoltz on the boat, which honestly, I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, he's the easiest prey for the anaconda. He literally can't do anything. All it has to do is break in that room and it can kill him at any point and just like it's a free meal. So that didn't make any sense to me. But anyways, back to the story. So Ice Cube and J-Lo, they're like in this little room looking for the oil, and they find the oil. But then all of a sudden, John Voight comes around the corner, and he's like, boom, hits him in the face, knocks him down, and takes them hostage and ties them up. And then, do you remember seeing the monkey paw hanging off the thing? Like the bloody monkey paw hanging off the table, Anna?
No.
Yeah. So
when was the monkey paw? I remember getting like regurgitated by the snake, but I don't remember what happened to the monkey after that.
Yeah, so I don't know if he killed another monkey or if he found that monkey's body floating around, but he basically kills what would equate to multiple monkeys and then drains their bodies of blood and puts all their blood in a bucket and then mm-hmm. throws all of this monkey blood. Like, I'm talking like easily...
If you're going to be an anaconda hunter, you have to have your trusty bucket of monkey blood.
I guess. It was just kind of like, how many monkeys do you have to kill to get that much blood? Because this is like... This is like one of those Quentin Tarantino scenes where it's just like blood everywhere. It just throws it all over them. And so they're sitting there tied up over, or I guess like sitting on top of a trap. They're like basically being used as bait. And John Voight is going to lure the anaconda onto this like big net while it's eating them and then catch it in the net and then tranquilize it. So they're sitting in the thing. All of a sudden, anaconda comes down. It wraps itself around both of them, squeezes them together, and you're like, oh, God, they're going to die. This is the moment. John Voight's going to win. Poor Eric Stoltz mm-hmm. can't do anything by himself. And then the anaconda, like, what breaks? Like, John Voight sends the net up. It catches the anaconda, right? And it's just thrashing around wildly. It kind of, like, unwraps itself around the two of them, which I thought was a little weird. And then it's just, like, freaking out, trying to find out where John Voight is.
He realized what John Voight had done to him, and he realized that he didn't want the people, because this isn't like a normal anaconda. It's like Jaws. Like, Jaws has revenge on people.
Oh, true.
Like, anaconda has revenge. Like,
Yeah.
He's like Leo in The Revenant.
Gerald, kill my boy.
Anaconda realizes that John Voight is the key in all this. Although then, after it kills John Voight, then it decides...
Let's talk about it killing John Voight, because that is a great moment. So it wraps up John Voight. J-Lo and Ice Cube are running for it. They're like getting out. And then it wraps up John Voight and then squeezes around his neck. And he's like, ugh! And then did you see his jaw like pop like in his face? Like something in his face pops and like sticks out, juts out of his face. And you're like, ooh, that looks so gross. And then it swallows John Voight. Like you watch it swallow his body whole very quickly too. Like I didn't think it would be that quick because it didn't really do that to the other people, but... I don't know. It really wanted to eat John Voight. So it eats John Voight. And then what were you saying, Thomas?
And then it decides to go. As we've been told in the beginning of the film, is scientifically accurate to an anaconda, it decides not to eat John Voight, but to spit him out and then pursue J-Lo next.
The mucus covered John Voight with one eye open, staring back at J-Lo as they decide to fight the snake. But then they're duking it out with a snake. And one thing leads to another. Ice Cube has the great idea of start using hand tools, which no one has thought about up until now. Like, no one's been like, let's not use guns. Let's just kill it with old-fashioned, like, pickaxes. So he pickaxes this thing's tail into the ground, and it's freaking out. He's like, climb up the smokestack. Just climb out the smokestack. I'm going to blow it up. So J-Lo climbs up the smokestack. She, like, can't get out. The snake's coming up the smokestack, and it looks like it's going to kill her. All of a sudden, she gets through it. And she's standing on the other side of the smokestack, and she's got to climb down. Ice Cube runs outside, and he's like, you can do it! Just jump! You can do it! Come on, just jump! It's going to blow! And he, like, rigged up the thing, and all of a sudden, it ignites, and this huge just volcano eruption of fire comes out of the smokestack and just roasts the snake. J-Lo jumps, falls, lands in the water, and I'm like, oh god, there's gonna be another snake. I know how this is gonna go. Like, I thought for sure they were still gonna die by another snake, because I thought that is the most fitting way for this movie to end. But no, the snake, does it fall out of the smokestack? Because it ends up in the water again. It's like charred.
Did you see it? It was like, that was like one of my favorite scenes, is when the smokestack explodes and the snake explodes out of the smokestack and is like wriggling in the air. And it falls in the water.
I completely missed that part.
It was great.
I was like, I must have been texting or something, and I look back up and the snake's in the water. I was like, how did that happen? It was just dying. A grisly death. So then Ice Cube hits it in the face. Is it an axe the second time, or is it the pickaxe?
It's an axe the second time.
Yeah, so he finds another hand tool, because now they're just abundance. It must have been like an old like Lowe's or Home Depot or something that they stumbled upon in the middle of the Amazon. So he finds this axe, and he hits it in the face, and he delivers y'all's favorite line, which was?
Bitch.
A very fitting
That's a favorite line.
A very fitting end for the snake.
Yep.
And then it dies, and then they go back on the boat, and Eric Stoltz is like, you guys are great. I was really pulling for you guys to win that fight. And then he's like, oh, wait, look, there's those Amazonian people we've been looking for this whole time. Go get the camera. This is what we've always
been waiting
want.
For. We had too many people with us, so they were just waiting for the anaconda to like just narrow down the size of our party before they showed up for the documentary.
Those people must have been so thankful. I mean, I honestly think that they never came out because they were scared to go up that river because the anaconda is going to kill them all. But you know, hey, they had hand weapons in abundance, so maybe that was the secret the whole time.
That could be it.
This is definitely like a nature versus man movie.
Oh, at its finest. At its finest.
At its core. It was a great story about a snake that wasn't going to stop until it sought revenge for the person
it's
that
really
killed
just,
its babies.
If you think about it, it's reverse Die Hard.
Oh, you're right.
The snake is John McClane.
Yippee-ki-yay, John Voight.
Oh. Yeah, because, I mean, it's everybody else infringing on snake slash Bruce McClane's territory.
So does that make...
He's just fighting to get out, but then John McClane doesn't die, so...
So is John Voight Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
Oh.
That would have been a great casting, honestly.
Yeah.
If
J-Lo is
if
Holly
Bruce Willis
McClane.
Had eaten Alan Rickman and then spit him out.
I would have watched the movie still, and I still would have thought it was a classic, honestly.
Maybe we can make Anacondas 3 Nakatomi Plaza.
So great. Now I just want to recast Anaconda with everyone from Die Hard. This is like consuming my mind right now. I don't even know what you guys are actually saying.
Who would you recast Ice Cube as? Because I don't think anyone other than Ice Cube and maybe...
The cop from Die Hard.
Yeah, he would...
From Family Matters.
He'd be a Twinkie cop.
I don't know. I'm thinking definitely either Ice-T from Law & Order SVU. Or the guy that played Trevette.
You have to qualify Ice-T as being from Law & Order SVU.
Dude, because that's his signature. Like, every line Ice Cube delivered in this movie was an Ice-T SVU line. Like, every single one was an Ice... Like, it was perfect. I was like, it could be the other person any day of the week. Or a twist, and this is my, like, wishful thinking, the guy that played Trevette on Walker, Texas Ranger would have been an amazing... Ice Cube. If it was just Trevette instead of like the thug guy from the streets of LA, if it was just like this Texas fine bolo tie wearing cowboy instead, I think it would have been an excellent movie.
Hmm.
Ooh, John Voight could have been like a really dark Chuck Norris. Oh man. Anna doesn't look too pleased with that idea. She's like, I don't know.
I don't know who I would do, like a Javier Bardem kind of character, you know? Actually, I would cast Javier Bardem.
I could. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like super sinister. Yeah.
Del Toro would have been great, too.
Oh, yeah.
With a mullet? Can you imagine Benicio with a mullet? Ooh. Ooh. That's amazing.
That'd be beautiful.
Let's just make like a high quality Anaconda remake.
For real.
Can we put Donald Glover as Ice Cube?
That'd actually be really great. I would watch.
He should. I think he would be a good Owen Wilson.
Oh, you're right. He would be. But yeah.
And Owen Wilson as Eric Stoltz.
Speaking of, though, I think Owen Wilson actually had some of the best lines in this movie. Is it just me, or does the jungle make you really, really horny? Is like a very solid line. Only second only to "You don't know shit about the shit we're in out here."
I preferred Ice Cube's line, "They got snakes out here this big."
I just love the I think the romance between Owen Wilson and the production manager is really beautiful. Like, the first time he says something kind of sexual to her, she's really grossed out by it. And then the next time we see them, she's just like, it really is the jungle makes people horny, because she's just totally into it, like, half a day later.
Yeah. She's
all about it.
Speaking of romances and Anaconda, did you guys know that it was nominated for a Raspberry for Worst On-Screen Couple between John Voight and the animatronic snake?
Really?
For real, yeah. Actual nomination. Didn't win, unfortunately.
Who did it lose to? I wonder who it lost to.
That's a good question. Oh, I don't know.
So many cringes during that scene where J-Lo tries to seduce John Voight. I was just cringing for that whole thing.
It was so bad. But I was like, really uncomfortable. I hope this happens, because that would make this movie even better.
All right, Hunter, what did Twitter think about this film now that we've
let me pull up these
given our opinions of it?
It's fantastic. Screenshots that I took of these tweets. Okay. This is leading it off. It's a cross emoji. Tony, cross emoji. At Duvolt. Have y'all ever met an anaconda? They must be crazy. Y'all ever seen an anaconda movie with Ice Cube? It's trash. Ha ha ha. Shoot me, please. Tony, thank you very much. Because that's exactly how I felt.
So many emotions during that tweet.
And to be fair, there is the only punctuation in this sentence is a comma after anaconda and then a comma after y'all must be crazy. No other punctuation. Everything's in all caps. So it perfectly captured what I thought. The next one is from Little Ponytail at Asha7777. And it's Jeb Bush looks like that insane man from Anaconda movie. Which is
Jeb Bush
great.
And John Voight? I like that.
He could be a great John Voight recast. Should Jeb Bush lead off his acting career? This one goes back to something else I said earlier. It's Sheen at XNara Arts. I feel like watching the Anaconda movie with Jenny from the Block. Legitimate thought, player. Like if someone had that. I never had that thought in my life. I don't think anyone
straight
ever
to
would.
The point.
This was Baymax at Cheesy Animator. Anaconda movie ruined the fun of walking barefoot in a river. Very true.
That's
very
a fair point.
Does that mean they were actually scared of it? I guess.
Dude. You weren't? Because when I was a kid and I saw this movie, I was like, I'm good. I don't want to go to the river. Rope swings?
I grew up on the beach, so I didn't really think there was going to be like an anaconda in the ocean.
Spoiled. Grew up on the beach. We grew up on creeks with crawfish and snakes. It was awful. That's Alabama for you. This is from Kevin James, but not the one from Paul
Wall. Oh, I was really excited for a second.
It's from at Jakey Chan 44. The Anaconda movie and Deep Blue Sea are more scary than any horror movie, which I thought was a bold statement, and it deserved to be read on our podcast. And it got run a reach. What, one reach beat? Only one.
I think he might have like a deep-seated fear of nature.
I think so, too. There. Also, he really likes black leading men living the whole time. Because those are two movies that, like, one of two of the only horror movies where that happens, which is something to be said for that. And also Deep Blue Sea.
That's actually a fair point.
Hell of a movie. Love Deep Blue Sea. For the record.
What are we scared of in Deep Blue Sea? What animals in that?
Sharks.
Ugh.
Not just any sharks. Like genetically modified sharks that are modified by none other than Samuel L. Jackson. But we do have Thomas Jane, a.k.a. the Punisher, there to help us. So.
Do they have lasers on the tops of their frickin' heads?
Sharks with laser beams. Lasers.
Lasers.
No, but that could have been a great sequel. Deep Blue Sea 2, lasers.
Anacondas with lasers.
This is from my boy Noah William at Polo Eyes. He says, at Duke Dillon, of course you agree with your statement. You made it. Ice Cube survived an anaconda and Busta Rhymes survived in Halloween. Swag. Two likes. It's true. It's another one where another African American lead survived Halloween. Busta Rhymes. I honestly forgot he was in that movie, though. To be fair, Okay, this is from Justin Umberson, which is at J Umberson. Watching Anaconda, Ice Cube is wearing Converse. Couldn't have picked worse boat shoes.
So not that wrong. One, that one is that's true. Like a, that is so a bad true. Choice. I didn't even thought about that.
I just love the fact that that's what he took away from that movie.
But if I remember correctly, Ice Cube is very clear that this is like one of the first times he's left Compton.
True.
In that film.
That's very
which
true.
Which leads me to believe that this is just kind of an interesting point, which leads me to believe that J-Lo's and Ice Cube's documentaries at that point have only taken place in Compton.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Or maybe it's the first time Ice Cube's working for her. But anyway, he says something about like never leaving Compton, and she seems to be a respected documentarian. So I guess they just
related to documentaries is my next tweet actually, which is from "Where is my lawyer?" at Ron Paul's Money. it's after seeing Ice Cube's 1997 documentary Anaconda, I will never go to the Amazon River.
That's great.
What a terrible person.
I wasn't really planning on going before, but you know.
This is from Seth, which is at Lotus Gate. As the best part of Anaconda is when Ice Cube calls the snake a bitch at the end.
That's my favorite part. I agree with what's his name? Seth. I agree with Seth. Yeah. He's a good kid.
Seth is
although
a good kid.
Yo Mama's Army is a close second.
That's true. That's true. Also followed by the there are snakes out here this big, which I thought was this my favorite part by far. This is from at Brian Huntington at No Zombies. The entire second half of Straight Outta Compton should have been about Ice Cube filming Anaconda. What a twist!
Straight Outta Compton 2. Straight Outta Compton 2. We'll talk about it.
Back to the Amazon.
That would be incredible.
This one is from Amish Cyborg. At Chairman Will. My Anaconda don't want none unless it's Ice Cube, son.
That's great. Clever.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, I like that. We might have to steal that from him to be like the caption when we post this online.
Ooh, and then this is my favorite one of all because the reaction, the reply tweet underneath it made my day. This is Pat Healy, which is a certified account, at Pat Healy.
Really?
Stay for the Straight Outta Compton post-credit scene, which finds a rotund Ice Cube enjoying craft services on the set of Anaconda. And then the reply was from Chris T. That said, at Pat Healy, there's food out here this big? And that, my friends, are the best tweets about Anaconda.
Definitely let Pat Healy know that we featured him on the show because that would be great.
Oh, we will. Okay. We always share.
Wait, isn't Pat Healy the name of Matt Dillon's character in There's Something About Mary? That's who I thought it was.
Ooh.
That's what I thought.
Unless this person's just adopted the name and was like, yeah, let's go for it.
Oh, yeah, he is. Healy. Pat Healy. He's in There's Something About Mary. Matt Dillon.
What? That's
awesome. I don't know who your Pat Healy is, but my Pat Healy is pretty cool.
He's an actor.
The fake character's Twitter account tweeted about Straight Outta Compton and Anaconda.
There's food out here this big.
There's food out here this big.
All right, so I believe we've come to our section where we give our Bad Movie Book Club ratings. Just as a refresher, it's been a little while since our last episode. We have Guilty Pleasure, So Bad It's Good, or Just Plain Bad. So, who wants to give us their ratings?
I think I'll go first. I'll lead in, because I feel like everyone already knows how I feel. This is my guilty pleasure. A really, really sad guilty pleasure, but, you know, I don't know. I grew up watching this movie with my dad, because my dad's sick, sadistic person. And he would always show us stuff like this when we would go hunting or, like, fishing trips. Same with Lake Placid. I might have talked about that on here before, but yeah. Thanks, Dad. You really made a lot of great fishing trips memorable by showing those movies to us on the first night of the trip. But yeah, this is a guilty pleasure for me. As a kid, I was more like grossed out, I think, and watching it when I'm older, it's way more enjoyable for the terrible aspects of the movie. But yeah, guilty pleasure, definitely. But a little bit of So Bad It's Good. A little bit of So Bad It's Good mixed in there. That's my take on Anaconda.
Hmm. All right, well, I'll go then. I'm very on the fence about this one. Because I didn't, like, necessarily enjoy Anaconda, probably to the degree that you did, Hunter. But I almost don't even want to say it's so bad it's good, because it's not even so bad, because it's kind of bland. Except for, like, a few pretty, like, stellar lines from our friend Cube. But, so, you know, I'm going to just say, no, it's so bad it's good, because I don't get much pleasure from it. But I was, like, with you, with Lake Placid and Anaconda, except we didn't watch Anaconda, but my mom's favorite movie was Lake Placid, which is actually a superior film to this, an incredible movie, like, amazing movie. It's got Bill Pullman, Brendan Gleeson, it's got Bridget Fonda, it's got Betty White, it's got Oliver Platt, it's, like, it's the whole package. Anyway, that's for later recommendations, but, yeah, there you go. Bad, it's good. Thomas.
I kind of have to agree with Anna. I'm the same way. There are some really, really great moments in it that are like bad great moments, but there is a lot. I think they were trying a little too hard to build Hitchcockian tension, and those scenes just fall flat. It does get really slow in between, but I think purely for Ice Cube's dialogue, Owen Wilson's dead face through the snake skin, and John Voight's mucousy body winking. I think it's so bad it's good. It's definitely memorable. And I mean I definitely, when I watched it when I was younger, I was like blown away by how real the snake was. And it's definitely fun to come back now and just see how badly some of that CGI has aged. When it starts wrapping people up, sometimes it just looks like snake's man out of water or something. I don't know. It can look pretty bad. I think they made a good call by sometimes using animatronics, though, because I prefer animatronics to badly dated computer graphics.
I agree. It holds up better.
Sometimes it pays off.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Anna's kind of already touched on this, but let's do our palate cleanser. If you watched Anaconda and you liked it, you thought it was so bad it's good, or maybe you just hated it but you want something better but similar, what would you guys recommend?
Anna, you go first.
Okay, like, I know I just said Lake Placid, and I do recommend Lake Placid because it's amazing, and it's, like, a better anaconda because it's a crocodile and, like, better people. But I actually just thought of my better recommendation because it's an actual palate cleanser, like, an actually awesome film. And it may sound a little pretentious, but I'm saying everyone should watch Fitzcarraldo, which is Werner Herzog's 1982 film with Klaus Kinski. Where he is a rubber baron in the Amazon, and he takes this giant steamship down the Amazon to access these, like, inaccessible rubber trees, and he, like, drags his boat over mountaintop sort of thing. No snakes involved, but there is a scene where he's going down the Amazon and blasting opera, which is what really reminded me, watching Anaconda, of Fitzcarraldo, with the eccentric documentarian guy with his, like, wine glass and blasting music. So Fitzcarraldo is, like, just, like, an incredible film with no snakes, but in the Amazon with opera and good direction and good actors. So Fitzcarraldo. And subsequently, Burden of Dreams, which is even better than Fitzcarraldo, and it's the making-of documentary of Fitzcarraldo. So it's, like, a little more voyeuristic than, or, like, Anaconda. Mm-hmm. Anyway, someone else take over. I'm rambling now. I could talk about it forever.
Thomas, you go.
I'm going to go with a similar feel, which is a Hunt movie, which is one of my favorite Hunt movies, which is The Ghost in the Darkness.
Oh my God, yes!
With Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Love that movie. Oh. It's about Val Kilmer is sent out to this, like, colonization effort in Africa, where these lions are just coming into the camp and just killing people, and not in like a normal lion way, but in, like, a serial killer lion way. And so he has to team up with this crotchety old explorer in Africa, who's Michael Douglas, which I just I love Michael Douglas, but I especially love Michael Douglas as a crotchety old explorer because Romancing the Stone is
perfect.
Like one of my all-time favorite films. And together, Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas go out hunting for the Ghost in the Darkness, these two lions that are seeking out people and killing them.
Did you know that's based on a true story?
Yeah.
Those lions are in the Smithsonian. That really happened. Mm-hmm. That's so terrifying. They killed like 50 people. Like just murdered them in cold blood. They didn't really want to eat them. I mean, they ate Michael Douglas, I guess. Spoiler alert. But what a great scene, though. I mean, when that whole thing, when he wakes up in the tent, and like, oh, it's just like, man, it was the best. That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Thank you. But yeah, if you enjoy like the wilderness and the hunt and the man against nature, the Ghost in the Darkness, I think, the pacing and the characters and just the action and everything is a little, it's similar, but just better executed.
True. There's a, my picks are going to be a couple different things. I don't exactly know the names of them, but they're grouped together by subject and the place they were released. Any Sasquatch movie that ever came on Sci-Fi, the channel. Like, there are some classically bad, golden, just Bigfoot movies on that channel. And it's not related to Anaconda in any way, even though they did do a great David Hasselhoff Anaconda sequel at some point, which, you know, it's out there. If you want to watch David Hasselhoff get destroyed by an anaconda, then it's definitely your movie. Yeah, there's like a Sasquatch movie where, like, the Sasquatch rips this woman out of a shower through a window that's like 2x2, and her body like snaps in half. It's awesome. There's one where there's a guy like peeing on a mountain, like he stops to like pee, and the Sasquatch turns him around, rips his arm off, and then beats him to death with his own arm. That's my personal favorite one. But yeah, there's some actually great movies. So if you're just in like I really want to watch like, you know, kind of cryptid animals like just destroy people, then those are definitely the movies for you.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so, yeah. I have to say on the same note of sci-fi monster movies, Shark Attack 3: Attack of the Megalodon is easily the best. Even better than Sharknado, in my opinion.
Yeah, Sharknado gets old with time.
Oh, I haven't seen any of these movies, guys.
The best part about Shark Attack 3: Attack of the Megalodon is even though I think it was made for TV, I don't know, they made it with all the profanity and then had to go back and dub it over with really, really creative substitutes for profanity. So I know monkey spit is a substitute for bullshit at one point, which I loved as a, I don't know when the first time I saw it was. I was probably like 12 or something. I just thought that was brilliant.
Isn't that the one where it's like the giant one swallows the boat at the end?
Oh, a guy rides his jet ski straight into its mouth.
That's, yeah, I love that movie. That moment and the one on Jaws 3 where Jaws, is it Jaws 3 or Jaws 2? Where he throws the power line in Jaws' mouth and just explodes Jaws with electricity.
I've actually never watched any of the Jaws sequels, so I can't.
Wow.
I can't
help you out. There's some good Jaws sequels.
There was a Jaws movie where they were like underwater in like a glass tube and the shark was like ramming against the underwater shark.
The Dennis Quaid one where they're in SeaWorld.
Was that a Dennis Quaid one?
Quaid's in the movie. It's a great one.
That's probably why I watched it.
It starts off and there's like all these people in SeaWorld and then they like kind of go down and then there's just this head at the bottom of the tank and you're like, and that's how you get a movie. Yeah. It's so great. Jaws like eats some freeform skiers at one point. It's really good. You should definitely check it out. I would not watch the last one that had what's his name, Alfred from Dark Knight. What is his name? He's in the last Jaws sequel.
Michael Caine. That's the one that's like the revenge, right?
Yeah, Jaws the Revenge. Yeah. They're in Hawaii and at one point they asked Michael Caine why he did Jaws the Revenge and he was like, because I got a brand new house. So no shame for Michael Caine, and you know it worked out for him, so yay. You should watch them though. You should do like a month long monster movie like sci-fi binge, Anna. You would really.
I should.
You'd benefit from it.
Like, honestly, it's not my favorite genre. I didn't want to have it come out during the Anaconda episode, but. It's tough. It's a tough one for me. But, like, if you're giving me some sincere recommendations, I will take them to consideration.
You should watch Ghost in the Darkness, because Thomas was dead on with that one.
That's a good one. It's not really a monster movie, like, because they're not giant lions or anything. I mean, it really happened, and they were real lions.
It's more of a thriller.
But we will be getting away from monster movies and horror movies as a whole, because for our next film for Bad Movie Book Club, the inspiration just came to me that since a certain hip actor named Sylvester Stallone is gaining a lot of traction on the awards circuit right now.
Ooh, well deserved, by the way. Well deserved.
I think we should watch one of his most classic films, which is easily maybe one of the best arm wrestling films ever made of all time, the movie 1987's Over the Top.
Ooh.
So yeah, I think that's what we'll be watching. It's on Netflix Instant. It particularly came to mind for me because it has my favorite movie song of all time, which is Meet Me Halfway by the incomparable Kenny Loggins.
You honestly only did this for Kenny Loggins.
And yeah, I know that's that true.
In my heart.
But also for Stallone and arm wrestling. So, yeah, we'll be getting on that, and hopefully we'll have that episode out fairly soon around Academy Awards time, so we can see how Sly does at the Academy Awards.
I hope he wins, dude. Yep. That was a great... He did fantastic in Creed. Hell of a role. Right. Hell of a role. Have you seen Creed, guys? Have you seen Creed?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated. I think it's pretty gross that we're nominating Sylvester Stallone for, like, a role he already played and already won awards for.
I mean, okay. I can see that. I can see that. And I do think that Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated because he was really good. And also, what is her name? His love interest in the movie.
Oh, yeah. She's so good.
She was so good. She was a Selma, too. I loved her. She was phenomenal. She very much deserved to be give it some credit for that. It was fantastic. Anyways,
all right. Yeah,
that was fun.
Sign it off. Everybody want to give your Twitter handles so anyone watching Over the Top can let us know what they thought.
Sure. Honestly, if you don't get to me, just get to me at Cinenation Show on Twitter.
Cool.
That's it's the one where we do all of our Cinenation stuff. So might as well.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Let's do that.
You can find me at Cinecatic, which is CineCatic. That's Twitter. And then also Cinecatic.com is where I write movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
And I'm Here's a Who with underscores in between. And we are all contributors on the CineNation Show Medium page, which is awesome. We have a lot of great content on there right now, so go check that out as well. We've got articles from us, from some really great collaborators who have published some of their articles with us. We have a video tribute to Twin Peaks that Anna just put together. That's great. So check that out. All right, and like us on Facebook and give us some reviews on iTunes, because we love to hear back from you guys and see what you think of all of our shows, Bad Movie Book Club, and just the CineNation episodes. All right. Well, we'll see you back here soon for more CineNation and hopefully Bad Movie Book Club with Over the Top very soon.